All around the Lutheran world and beyond, this past weekend saw the ritual slaying once again of the disciple Thomas. How would you like to be remembered for all of history as one who carries uncertainties, reservations, misgivings, and yes, doubt about the resurrection of Jesus? And this despite the fact that at the end of his interaction with the Lord, he cries out, "My Lord and my God." Would that we would be as quick to confess as Thomas. And yet I can imagine in many places Thomas's doubts were emphasized once more, and God's people were at least implicitly made to feel better about themselves, because they are not like the doubter. Fine, but here's my question. Why is it then that the guys on the Emmaus Road get a pass? Why are they called the Emmaus disciples when at least initially they are as uncertain as Thomas? We don't call them disbelieving disciples or clumsy Cleopas and his bumbling unnamed sidekick. We don't entitle our sermons Emmaus Misgivings, but perhaps we should. For look at the way Luke describes these men. Walking along, when Jesus poses his question to them, they come to an abrupt halt. And as they stand there in the middle of the road, their grief, disappointment, and frustration burst out. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what has happened here in these days?" And Jesus, ever so patient, says, "What things?" Then they start telling Jesus about Jesus. And it's all in the past tense. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. He's dead and gone. Even though some of the women had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, their hope is dead because Jesus has died. Even as the reports of the resurrection come in. Like Thomas, they hadn't seen it, and they didn't believe it. I, of course, like to think that I would have been different, but I don't think I would have. My grief, disappointment, frustration, and yes, my reason, would likely have kept my eyes from seeing what I knew and believed could not be. Even with the reports of the women and Peter. Bottom line, the word of Jesus applies as much to us as it does to the doubts of all Christ's disciples. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But in our sluggishness to believe and confess, our gracious Lord is merciful and quick to dispel our doubts. He explains all things and leads us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he does so just as he has promised earlier in Luke's gospel. That is to say, in the familiar story of the rich man and Lazarus, the Lord laid out a pattern for what would happen on the Emmaus Road and with us. And the rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they come also to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." And here is Jesus, risen from the dead, with the Emmaus disciples, and they do not even recognize him. They are not convinced by the reports of others. What they need to hear is Moses and the prophets. What they must hear is the voice of Jesus himself. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This and his revealing of himself in the breaking of the bread opened their eyes. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Unable to contain themselves, they rushed back to the other disciples and told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This, my friends, is exactly what Jesus does for us. He opens the scriptures regarding himself and makes himself known in the breaking of the bread. We are foolish and slow of heart to believe. He patiently teaches us and welcomes us to his table. I would be remiss this day if I failed to recognize Johannes Bugenhagen in this sermon. Bugenhagen was Luther's pastor and has been called the organizer of the Reformation, yet great as he was, Luther consistently teased him about his long sermons. Every high priest should have his private sacrifices, said Luther of Bugenhagen. Accordingly, Pomeranus sacrifices his hearers with his long sermons, for we are his victims. And today he sacrificed us in a singular manner. Lest I be accused of the same, one final point. In a few days, a number of you will receive your placements and will be called to serve congregations where you will serve people like yourself, like me, and all the rest of us here, people who are foolish and slow of heart to believe. Be patient with yourself and with the people God entrusts to you. Teach consistently and point people to Christ's table. And as you do this, you will find yourself, along with the people of God, saying, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Bottom line, doubting Thomas is no more fair a description of confessing Thomas than it is of the confessing Emmaus disciples and of us. Rather, through Moses and the prophets and the breaking of bread, Jesus has opened our eyes and enables us to cry, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."
He is risen.